The world is a better place because of Kim Kardashian's empire,
Cheetos,
fleece material,
and Discorder.
It's a local independent music magazine from CITR.
Which means that we can print whatever we heckin' want.
Album and live show reviews, interviews with artists, and sweet illustrations grace our pages.
And even you, listener, can contribute.
Just visit CITR.ca/discorder/contribute.
You can grab it around town or read it at discorder.ca.
Forever local and forever free.
Best believe I'm not paying that $5. A week left in...
$5.
I'm not paying it. A week left in my journey for the nut I am yearning. The nut will not bug me. I'm not a roly-poly. I am a man. The nut will not control me.
Yeah!
So December comes blooming. Blooming like a daisy. Best believe not it's December. Your boy going crazy. When the nut was plentiful.
Good morning. It is November the 8th, the second Thursday of this month. And you're listening to Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR's Vancouver's radio station. I'm your host, and who the hell
keeps taking the mic? It's probably one of the most frustrating things that's happened here in a long while is you don't know how the setup is in here, but there's a particular good mic, and then there's a few other piss-poor excuses for microphones, and someone keeps moving the good one before I come in here. It's going to need to be corrected. Anyways, you're here with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR's Vancouver's radio station. I am your host, Issa Arian, and we do this every Thursday of every week. We're broadcasted from the unceded Musqueam Coast Salish territories here live from the westernmost part of Vancouver. Sorry, I'm a little bit under the weather if you can hear my voice. There's a bad flu going around, so stay away from that. Listen, getting sick is not good for your health, I promise you. You should do what you can to stay away from that. And it is November. It's no nut November, so watch yourself. Keep yourself and your energy safe. Also, it is no shave November. So listen, these two go hand in hand. Just take this November for a little self-reclamation so that you can move forward into the new year, you know, with a clear conscience and a clear mind, a clear body. It's important. If you've never tuned in to Off the Beaten Path here, you're in for a treat. And if you have tuned in, welcome back. See, when you hear a lot of promotions, you hear a lot of these companies, particularly banks, credit unions, insurance companies, you know, they're always offering their new customers things. They're always like, hey, come join us. We'll send you $250. Hey, you know, we'll give you a discount if you sign up. See, but what they fail to do is they fail to recognize the humanity and the people who have been supporting them and been with them the whole time. And that's something that I refuse to do. So thank you to the new people. But hopefully one day you'll become a regular listener. And I appreciate the regular listeners. I appreciate the new listeners as well, but it's really the regular listeners, the people who are getting up every day. Maybe they're making their breakfast, getting their kids ready for school, driving their kids to school. Maybe they're brushing their teeth, getting ready for work. Maybe they're at work at a job that they're like, you know, this job is cool, but I need a break, particularly on Thursday after hump day. Like, you know, people think hump day and they're like, okay, I'm almost to the end of the week. But then you get it to Thursday and you got a long ass day ahead of you. And you're like, you know what? I need another break. Wednesday, the hump wasn't enough. I need to extend it a little bit to the morning. And that's what I'm here for you. I'm here to tell you not only the things that you needed to know for what happened during the week, but also things that's good to know going into the weekend. Things that you might want to bring up on each Tinder date. Maybe you got a Hinge date. Maybe you got a Grindr date. Maybe you got no date. Maybe you're just sitting at a bar and you want to spark up a conversation to the individual next to you or the bartender or maybe a therapist. Anybody, I'm going to give you something that maybe you can bring back, take forth with you. You know, put it in your little satchel. From now on into eternity, I'm going to be making Red Dead Redemption analogies. So just understand that you need to get with it because they are not going away. Anyways, so, you know, I'd like to bring things that maybe you can take forth with you to the future, to the weekend, to make yourself feel or to make yourself know, you know, that you're hip and you know what's going on. And when it comes to, you know, British Columbian news, maybe Canadian news, world, or American news, or just some cool shit that's going on in the world, you feel well-informed and very well-prepared to take the next leap, you know, and look at some of these stories yourself, maybe see how you can envision yourself in these stories and what you would do. What do you think the right thing is to do? Maybe you can talk about it with your friends about like, maybe we shouldn't vote for racist people anymore. Maybe we shouldn't be racist anymore. Maybe you shouldn't be a misogynist anymore. Maybe, you know, how do I contribute to patriarchy and white supremacy? And what am I doing to dismantle these things? Maybe this show will give that to you. Because there's some cool people doing some things around the world. I like to bring those to light. There's also some cool people, some cool, interesting people who are doing things here, particularly in Vancouver, and I like to talk about those too. Sometimes I have those people on as guests. Sometimes they call in. I happen to be fortunate enough to be blessed with lots and lots of different types of friends who are involved in lots of many things and who are very smart and who love to come on the radio and talk about how smart they are and impart that knowledge on others. Not like in a braggadocious type of way, but just in a way that's truthful. There's so many things that are going on, particularly in the world, that sometimes it's just nice to listen to hear, you know, what are some of the cool things that people are doing. And before we jump right into before we jump right into like what's going on in the world, I just wanted to say there was another mass shooting here in California. I say here, I mean in North America, in California, earlier this morning, where a gunman walked into a club in Thousand Oaks, California. It's a few miles east of Los Angeles, and opened fire and killed 11 people, 12 people, 13 people, including himself. But I don't think that that should really be counted. And when I was doing some research and trying to find out what exactly happened, I also came across another shooting that happened just 2 days ago, you know, that nobody had even talked about in Tallahassee, Florida, where four days ago, shooting that killed people in a yoga studio. Now, this is a college night at a bar last night, and then a yoga studio a few days ago, where a man who was fired as a substitute teacher for touching a girl, a sexist, racist, xenophobic, who is what Scott Paul Burley was described as. They always say he's unaffiliated. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb, and this is a hot take, and probably say that this shooter in Thousand Oaks, California, was also a white dude. And it's very interesting because as we're going to get into the election a little bit later, the United States election a little bit later, you know, in talking about some of the fears that have been drummed up by particularly the president, but also members of the GOP about these thousands of migrants who are on their way to the United States to come ruin our country and we have evidence over hundreds of years, I feel like multiple data points, showing that, you know, Central Americans aren't really the people who we should be worried about. When I say we, I mean me and myself and people who identify as someone who would be on my team. And there's so many data points where we understand exactly who and what is dangerous. Like going to a yoga studio, killing multiple people, shooting people at a concert, shooting people at a school, shooting people at another school, maybe shooting people at another school, shooting little kids at school. So many things that we really have to try to figure out what the hell is going on and what is wrong with these people and how can we understand their mindset. And that's not something that anybody has ever, now, I would say anybody has ever talked about, because there's lots of people who have talked about it, but nobody from the powers that be continue to talk about it. They just talk about the potential of migrants coming in and ruining our democracy. They talk about how these individuals are unaffiliated when they continue to say and spout the same rhetoric that the president does and the people who support him. They continue to spout the rhetoric that that other individuals, particularly even politicians that have won elections on Tuesday, spout and echo the same rhetoric. And we continue, we as Americans or as people in general, continue to just write these people off as one-offs when clearly they belong all in the same group. When President Barack Obama was elected in 2008, there was a considerable spike in white supremacist hate groups, which continued until today. Well, I mean, I don't say until today, but it's continuing and rising as people have been more emboldened by the president, who elicits some of the same feelings that they do. And it's scary that this hasn't been addressed. And when I say it's scary, I mean, it's really par for the course. Like, I feel like America's pretty scary. I mean, I got a text message from a friend this morning asking me, what is the immigration to Canada process like? And I don't think this person is actually serious, because I feel like people just say that type of shit. But it's for real. I feel like a few weeks ago, I was in Ohio, Columbus, being one of the, I want to say, extra regular American towns in America. Like, it's probably for me like the most regular American place you could ever go. I not in like a bad way, but just in like a, this is regular American, like eat ketchup and french fries and hot dogs and football on Friday, football on Saturday, football on Sunday, going to work at a job that you're like, this is cool. You know, coming home to a wife, you're like, this is okay. You know, having some kids, you're like, these kids are okay. You know, and that's just fine. And that's like a great regular life. And people know how I love it. And it's not bad. Sometimes I miss it. But all I was doing there was just advocating for the reasons why people should reconsider like their marriage to just this idea of what this is, because there's so many things that can be done, and doesn't make sense that we are okay with these types of things going on. And before we get back into you know, just like the regular scheduled program, and I just think that as Canadians here, particularly in the Lower Mainland in Vancouver, you know, we can often look at the United States as a, man, holy shit, what's going on down there? But it takes effort to really maintain, you know, like the beauty and the peace and the love that we have here. So, you know, when looking down at the United States, don't like poo-poo on them, because it can happen here, particularly when it comes to like racism and bigotry. The shootings don't happen here, but believe me, the racism and things are here, just without the history, the lengthy history and the multiple data points. But when you hear about the stories and you hear about the stories and you read about, you know, some of the things that have happened here, particularly like internment camps or Hogan's Alley or the displacement of people, you understand that it can and might happen here. So we need to make sure that we are able to protect that. When we get back, we're going to jump right into some Canadian news, particularly some Vancouver news. Can't wait. Star signs mean nothing, but I know you feel right, so I'm coming. Gets hard when you're getting up, knocked down from some other love, but their best wasn't good enough, and you're number one to me. You're extra special, something else, or maybe it's you. And I've been looking for something I want, and maybe it's you. Your pussy is God, and you know I think you're so cute when you get high. Never been good at this nice shit, but I could try if you like it. Gets hot when you give a fuck, knocked down from some other love, but their best wasn't good enough, and you're number one to me. Your pussy is God and I'm falling. We're on the same wave when we're talking. I've never been played in a good match, but I win when I hit set. I'm cool if you love me up, knocked down from some other love, but their best wasn't good enough, and you're better off with me. You're extra special, something else, or maybe it's you. I've been looking for something I want, and baby, it's you. Back with Off the Beam Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's radio station. I'm your host. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And so I'm thinking about here news, particularly in Vancouver. We like to focus on, you know, like what's going on here in the city that includes homelessness, housing, and drugs, and occasionally poverty. So last year when, you know, many activists really wanted to emphasize what poverty looks like here in Vancouver, they wanted to understand what was it like to live on, you know, like a welfare subsidy, you know, and impoverished like, you know, what is it like to live like that? And so a lot of politicians and a lot of activists signed up to live on $19 a week, which is really what was left over from the welfare and after rent, and what people had to survive on to eat for the whole week. And NDP MLA Mabel Elmore has been chastised for expensing $61 per day for meals during her $19 a week challenge. Now, it's interesting because this was brought up by the BC Liberal Party as she sought re-election and, you know, understanding about following through on what you say. And there's many different levels for what I find interesting about this story is that, one, I didn't know that not only when you are a politician here in BC, you get a salary, a six-figure salary, but you also get $1,000 a month for rent, and you get a $61 a day meal stipend. Now, the $61 comes in like a cash expense form, so you don't really even have to show receipts about what you're spending money on, which I find is interesting, and probably the rent is the same thing as well. But I don't understand how you get a salary, and then in addition to the salary, you are also drawing a housing stipend and a food stipend. Now, maybe this is just par for the course for politicians. However, I find it a little much. You know, understanding about just how these things work, we talk about this poverty and how people need help, and we're just giving tax dollars to those who don't need it. But anyways, back to the understanding about understanding about what exactly is going on, particularly with this individual, with Mabel, is that people had taken on this challenge to live on $19 a week to understand about how people lived. And so she is paying back the $244 that she spent during that. I mean, not that she spent, that she allegedly spent during that week. But I feel that if you are going to do the challenge where you eat $19 of food per week and you are posting some of the meals that you eat, you probably should be posting all of them. I personally have zero faith that a politician would go through the week eating only what they could afford on $19 a week, because just knowing how, one, how difficult it is, and two, how these people operate in their lives, is that these luxuries are hard to give up, especially for a whole week. And so she tried to provide proof, I guess, with the tweet that she ate two hard-boiled eggs, you know, as a breakfast one day. But I feel like that's just not enough. I feel like if I was going to do a $19 a week challenge, you would see every creative meal that I came up with, like every version of rice and beans that you could find. Because honestly, I don't know about the budget, but I've 100% spent less than $19 in a week on meals, and that was just ramen noodles, rice, beans. I feel like eggs are too expensive to even put on that list. It's just water, ice, maybe. Probably eat some ice, and then spend $10 on that on a gram, because when you're getting hungry, the best thing is to do is go to sleep. Anyways. It just makes it interesting to think about, you know, when we give people credit for doing these types of challenges, or, you know, live like a poor person for a week, you know, sleep outside for a week, you know, what are we actually doing and what are we actually asking of these people? Because it doesn't, sometimes it doesn't add up. And it's good to have these checks and balances. So while the BC Liberal Party was obviously doing this because of a political motivation, still doesn't make it wrong. And people need to watch out. So I can't believe this is something that we continue to have to deal with. But when I say I can't believe it, I mean, like, I'm totally aware that it does happen and it does exist. However, it shouldn't. And people need to not only step up and not freaking assault people, but also bystanders need to step up and become a part of the solution. So a few weeks ago in September, a man attacked a gay couple and assaulted them on a SkyTrain. This happened on September 28th, and the man has since been arrested, but the victims were kicked and hit in the face, spat on by a man yelling obscenities and homophobic slurs, according to a police statement. And it's going to be charged as a hate crime. However, at Waterfront Station around 2:30 on the day of the attack, stepped inside and one of them and a man got on foot and approached the victims. Like, I'm just like, as I read through the article, you just realize that, like, one, people still have to go through these things. So talking about racism particularly, you know, here in Vancouver and looking at the United States as some horrible place as if it can't happen here. You know, we tend to do the same thing when it comes to homophobia, particularly when it comes to homophobia here in Vancouver, where we feel like it's such an inclusive place and everybody really just lets people live their life. And I feel, for the most part, you know, that seems to be true, but obviously it's not, and not everybody feels that way, particularly the LGBTQ community. We hear that all the time. I know for myself from listening to queer people of color or just queer people in general, when you hear about, you know, them not wanting the police involvement in Pride or the commercialization of Pride, you know, and how it's gone away from actually protecting and celebrating people's lives and the things that are on the line when it comes to these people's lives, because it's still, people are attacked in broad daylight on the SkyTrain at Waterfront Station, between Waterfront and Granville Station. So I don't know if you are listening not from Vancouver, particularly Waterfront Station is the first stop downtown, and Granville is the second stop. It's maybe a 2-minute train ride away, 3-minute train ride away. But the idea that somebody would feel comfortable enough to yell homophobic slurs at people and assault them and kick them and punch them in broad daylight is unfathomable. And to the idea that nobody stepped up and this person just walked away and he wasn't arrested until yesterday, you know, just makes you feel, one, just a little bit less safe, but also, like, where is everybody else at? And why is nobody stepping up? Listen, I don't know if you've ever been to Vancouver or if you live here in Vancouver, you know that 2:30 on any given day or any given day anywhere, there are people walking around and you're just like, yo, what do you do? Do you have a job? There's so many people walking around here all the time that it really makes you question about how do people just survive, you know, without going to work. But anyways, so you know that there's people around, and what are those people doing to ensure that this doesn't happen, or that the next couple doesn't feel this way, or the next individual doesn't get assaulted? And I feel, as I've echoed on the show many times, that it's our duty. When I say our, like, particularly people like me who are privileged enough to not be subjected to just open air homophobic slurs, you know, on a daily basis, not getting assaulted on trains, to step up when you see something like that going on and, you know, correcting the situation. Like, people are putting their bodies on the line every day for me, for you, for everybody. And I think that it comes into remembrance when, I mean, it comes into an idea when we talk about Remembrance Day on Monday. You know, while there's holidays that I don't particularly, I don't say I don't agree with, but it's not at the front of my mind, you know, when I think about Veterans Day and Memorial Day. Like, I don't agree with the wars, a lot of the wars that people are remembering or memorializing, like the Vietnam War and, you know, and the current Iraqi war that we are in right now. And but there are real people, you know, my family, your family probably, you know, who are really putting their lives on the line for not just for, you know, whatever political aim the war is intended to, I guess, follow through on, but just the idea that they're protecting their the people next to them and their families and, you know, and me. And that's what they're fighting for. And so if they can go in another country and, you know, put their lives on the line, then you should be able to, then, like, if you really are wearing a, you know, a poppy or a pin or taking off for Memorial Day, you know, then you should feel that you should step up whenever possible. And that means stepping up for all of your fellow citizens. So that's, you know, gay or black or brown or white or woman or anybody who's, you know, you see out on the street getting assaulted or berated or, you know, just anything happening. And that's really all I have to say about that. When we come back, we're going to touch on a few more things that are going on here in Vancouver and why legalization of marijuana has some things that you should be conscious of.
Standing here in an empty room, I saw you there and my blood ran cold. Take me back to the long September, don't know how I ever let you go. I was young, didn't know about love, you were wild, couldn't get enough. Gave my heart to another lover, don't know how I ever let you go. Find me another place and time, if only you were mine. But I'm already someone else's baby. Guess I had my love.
es amor, por mucho que digas, somos más que amigos. Y el tiempo se acaba en 4, 3, 2, 1.
You're back at Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR's radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian, and I'm going to tell you everything you need to know here in Canada about marijuana if you are concerned with that. So the first says pot ticket, but weed ticket that was given out here in Vancouver was given out a few days ago to a individual who had an unsmoked pot pipe in his driver's console and weed near it. So if you hadn't heard, on October 17th, 2018, Canada federally legalized marijuana. And so after that, obviously, there's got to be some rules, but while recreationally legal, it's still illegal to operate a motor vehicle. It's illegal to be high and drive, and pretty much treated like alcohol, except for since there's no way to test for like, you know, how high are you, you know, like they do how drunk are you, and set a legal limit on what you can and what you can't do, you know, while you're that inebriated. They have come up with other ways to try to protect the public, and that one is to give out tickets. So if you didn't know, when you are driving, your weed cannot be within arm's reach, and it can't be near, like, in a smokable form, I'm guessing. So maybe like a joint or in a bowl, or have a bowl near, you know, really just have like access to it. And so a Calgary man had to learn that the hard way on Tuesday, where he was given a $230 ticket as he drove around West Van, probably smoking and driving. But they said he wasn't high or driving poorly, but he did have an unlit pipe full of marijuana sitting in the center console of his Jeep. Now, I'm curious as to what made the police pull him over if he didn't have, if he wasn't driving poorly, he wasn't like visibly high, and he just had the pipe out. It's just important that you're aware. I mean, like, if this wasn't in West Van, I'd have some other questions. However, West Van, I feel like they would have made the note, you know, if this had some other motivations behind it. So in BC, if you're over the age of 19, you're allowed to possess up to 30 grams on your body at any moment. So that's like an ounce of weed wherever you're at. And an ounce is a lot for one person. But if you are in BC and you are over 19 and you are allowed to hold over 19, over an ounce of marijuana, you cannot do that while also being behind the wheel of a car. And it just makes sense. So if you didn't know, just go out there and understand that you can't put people at risk, and people who aren't high deserve their life just as much as you deserve your freedom. Now, here in Canada, there have been some stiff, I don't want to say regulations, but understanding that just because it's legal here doesn't mean it's legal wherever the hell you live at or wherever the hell you're from. I learned that when I went to the airport on October 17th, where you walk in and it's before you even swipe your passport in to collect your boarding pass, it says taking pot across borders is illegal. So as I flew to the United States, I made sure that there was no pot or weed residue that, you know, could potentially be flagged and put me on some type of list and maybe jail and then ban me from the United States, which I think is interesting because while I'm going from Vancouver to the airport, you have to cross customs here. But I don't know if technically that customs is you Washington State, but if it is in Washington State, in Washington, it's legal. I don't know. There's a lot of different things. But anyways, don't do it. And if you are Chinese or Japanese or South Korean, please, please be considering about what is going on, because I didn't know this, but Article 357 of the Criminal Law of the People's Republic of China stipulates that cannabis is a drug, illegal to grow, possess, and use cannabis in China. And so those laws apply to you here, and citizens who contain trace amounts of THC upon returning home can be convicted as a smuggler, and you could potentially face the death penalty. So, but it's not something I knew when I was in Japan. Could face the death penalty because as we were trying to find some hash, I didn't know I could be killed. You know, good to know when you're traveling other countries to obey their laws and their cultures and customs, because you are putting yourself at risk. And not only if you're putting yourself at risk when you're there, if you are in another country where something is legal, that doesn't mean where you came from it is as well. So before we get into, I just want to talk about the election on Tuesday very quickly. You know, participating in the United States election is should be a right, but it is not. It's not a right awarded to everybody. And so what we're seeing, particularly with internet and social media, is that people are being withheld their right to vote pretty blatantly. And like in real time, it's not the 60s anymore where we have to read in the newspaper about voter disenfranchisement or people getting turned away from the polls. You know, we see pictures on Twitter of a man who's working the polls with a Mississippi Justice shirt on, where he's got the Confederate flag and a noose hanging in front of it. Those types of things are deliberate. Like, I don't think I've ever seen someone who put on a shirt with a noose on it who's doing it, just pulled out one of their old T-shirts from their drawer and was put on the first thing that they saw, walked outside and, you know, went to you know, and went to work. Because we have to understand that this, one, that voting is something that people want to actively take away. And it's not just voting that's going to help change our society. When you hear, when you see, you know, just what's going on, voting is like the bare minimum. And you got to do more than that. But as we look at, you know, some of the things that happened, like particularly Jeff Sessions being removed from office yesterday, I don't want to even say resigned, like he was fired. And because of his unwillingness to cooperate with Trump's plans for the Russia investigation, which is crazy because we look at Jeff Sessions, I'm saying people on my team, look at Jeff Sessions like, yo, that dude is terrible. And Trump didn't think he was terrible enough, obviously. You know, in some places where we lost, like Gilliam, and we're hopefully that Stacey Abrams can pull through in this runoff election on December 4th. So if you're listening from Georgia, make sure you go out and vote for her again. And if you voted for the other dude the first time, make sure you really, really think about what this vote means for you and means for the people, and not just the people who look like you, but everybody, all Americans, and make sure that you know, you are putting your vote in the right place. But some of the things that we have seen, we've seen women of color, particularly black women, really do well this election. So we had the first Muslim woman elected to Congress. We've had the first openly gay person elected to Congress. And we've had the first black woman elected to Congress or House or Senate in Massachusetts, which I don't know if you guys have ever been to Massachusetts. It's a tough place to live. And a lot of women of color, a lot of Latina women who had done really well, both Democrats and Republicans, And it's like, I would say like a breath of fresh air to see like Alexandria Cortez, who has become the youngest woman to be elected in Congress ever. And she's the same age as me. So it gives me like, you know, some hope that maybe things, you know, will change or are changing. But sometimes it just doesn't feel like they're changing fast enough. So there are some bright spots in the election. However, we've seen it just one day after the election of some things you're like, I don't know about that, dog. When we come back, just from a quick break, I'm going to talk about some stories from the week. One story that just makes my heart warm and wish I thought of it.
We fall in love, he does the most, but I question it all, cause I'm still broken. He gets tired, then he leaves, then I cry, then I repeat. Fall in love again, fuck it up again, it's just the effect I got. Better being friends to avoid the pain, I say I'm okay, I'm not. It's always the same, it's like I'm looking for someone to save me. You question it all, cause you're still broken. I give you space, let you breathe. Flip it on me, then it repeats. I messed it up again, pissed you off again. Give you love, that's what I got. Cuss me out again, acting out again. Think it's okay, well it's not. Some ways to say, it's like I'm looking for someone to save me, someone to blame. So I can cry and ask you why you break me. And now you say I didn't come broken. And now you say you did. And now you say I didn't come broken. And now you say you didn't come broken. And now you say you did. And now you say I didn't come broken.
Back at Off the Beam Path here on 101.9 CITR's radio station. I'm your host, Issa Aaron, and if you like the music here or you like my voice, you know, you can tune in every Thursday from 7 to 8. We do this every week, or on Crimes and Treasons from 8 to 10 every Tuesday. That's me, Horsepower, Homeboy Jules, Rally Rails, Jamal Steeles, and Malik. Also, if you are interested in maybe some things I write, you can pick up Discorder magazine this week and see the feature I wrote on Caitlin French, you know, a Vancouver-based multi-disciplinary artist here. She's not only an artist, but she makes lots and lots of cool things. You should check it out. And now back to this this woman on Twitter who. She sent out a tweet, says, I will no longer hide. The left has made us feel as if black Republicans should hide, but not anymore. Blacks for Trump. Walk away. MAGA. Then she says, thank you all for seeing for overwhelming support. After seeing this tweet, my parents cut me off and refused to pay for my university tuition. So if you can find it in your heart to help this young black Republican pay for school, it would be appreciated. She set up a GoFundMe. Republicans all over the country contributed to her GoFundMe. She raised over $150,000. She said she even subsequently she's in it. You know, I'm now getting kicked out. My mother literally woke me up out of my sleep, screamed at me, how could you support this monster? She doesn't even know him. How can he be a monster? I just wish they understood. And people continued to pay her, and I just wish I thought of that myself. I personally would do. I listen. there are some things. There's some things that I regret. One of the things I regret is not going to Howard University, because Howard University seemingly is the finesse capital of the world, and I feel like I could have majored in some type of – I feel like my economics and finance majors would have been put to better use had I went to Howard University and really understood, you know, what's the foundation of the finesse. And I just really want to clap for this woman, because not only did she take the money, she bought an iPhone. I'm sure she probably paid off some of her student debt. And she is like the queen troll, queen finesse. It is, you know, it's just amazing to see. Also, in this isn't a finesse, but in a strange hearing, I don't know if you guys remember El Chapo, but, you know, we don't speak ill about El Chapo. I don't know how far his reach is, but I don't know if his people listening to public radio or not. I assume that they are. And El Chapo just wants one thing, you know, as he goes into his trial, which is a hug from his wife. He's been in solitary confinement for almost a year, hasn't been able to see his kids or had any human contact. And it's just one request for him, as he believes that he is going to go crazy without it. And I can only imagine not being able to touch a human for months and months, because, you know, I'm a hugger, if you ever know me, and, you know, hugging is good. However, they are currently right now choosing the jury selection for El Chapo. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather go to jail than serve on a jury for El Chapo, because it's not just the fact that, you know, they might get you out of the way immediately, but, you know, you got to think 4, 5 years, a decade from now, you could be walking your grandma to church, come get you out of nowhere, you know? And I feel like El Chapo's people, they don't take days off. So you have to watch out from whatever angle. So if you get chosen on El Chapo's, if you get chosen for El Chapo's jury, I pray for you. And also, this is a story that we have seen more than a few times, where a black person who is a doctor is requested on a flight, like, you know, are any doctors in the house? And then there's a doctor and they're black. And so they begin to treat the patient. But then the flight attendants come up and ask them for credentials. And so this happened on the Delta flight. Dr. Fatima Cody Stanford was aboard a flight from Indianapolis to Boston. And she saw something visibly wrong with the person seated next to her. So as she began to help, the person, the flight attendants, noticed and became skeptical of her behavior. So one flight attendant came over and asked her for her medical license as proof, and she gave it to her. And she only began to carry it after 2016. This happened where a doctor, a black woman doctor, was offering to help someone, and they kept asking her, are you qualified? Are you qualified? Are you qualified? You know, I can only imagine how annoying that might be. And so she carried her license and she gave it to the flight attendant. And then another flight attendant came over and asked to see her credentials and says, and then they both started asking questions like, are you a head doctor? Are you actually an MD? Now, my first reaction, I guess as a doctor, you are sworn into, you know, and committed to care. My first reaction would have been like, listen, you're a goddamn flight attendant. How about you leave me the hell alone and let me do my job? Not disrespecting any flight attendants. Listen, flight attendants are great people. I have some friends who happen to be great people in the flight attendants. But you know what they're not? They're not doctors. So how annoying would it be to have this person questioning you whether you're a doctor or not? You know, and this happens all the time where people are like, are you really this? Are you really that? I mean, it happens to in every profession. No, not just doctors. But we see like the weakness and the limitations of hashtags, particularly when you see stories that are replicated over and over and over again. Like this Fatima Cody Stanford, she even talks about, you know, how 2 years ago, you know, we had these doctors and is thousands and thousands of people, black, brown, tan, in between, talking about, you know, this is what a doctor looks like, this is what a doctor looks like, and showed pictures all over the internet where it went viral and talked about, you know, doctors aren't just white dudes. And obviously that thing didn't move the needle, not even a little bit. So when you are contributing to hashtags and you feel that, like, you know, this social media push is really helping to change the mindsets and the mentalities of Americans all over the world, just know that your hashtag probably isn't doing shit. And we do this every Thursday. Thanks for listening. We're tuned in. If you'd like to, if you caught it, this episode in the middle, you can find it on CITR.ca, Off the Beaten Path, or you can find it on Mixcloud.com/Off the Beaten Path. You can find it on Facebook.com/OTBP20XX. I haven't updated the Facebook page in a few weeks. However, that is on my to-do list after we, the West Side Warriors, beat the South Delta Rams on Sunday. And if you like watching kid football and you like watching people get beat up, you can look at the VMFL Championship. Come out and support the West Side Warriors. Bring in navy blue and your bottles, because the Warriors are coming out to play. My name is Issa Aaron.